Well, welcome everyone to our midweek Bible study. It's such a blessing that we can gather together and to read the Word. I pray that you would be blessed and that we would all leave with something that God has for us. I just want to open in prayer. Why don't you join me? Jesus, it is such a privilege that we have as your people to come and to open your word and to learn from what it is that you have for us. And I ask this evening that you would speak to us in such a unique way, Lord, that we would allow ourselves to be used by you, Lord Jesus, and that there would be a hunger and a desire to serve you more. I just pray that you would anoint me, Lord God, and that you would use me, and that it would reach into every single heart that would hear it, whatever time that might be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is the fourth lesson on the series Lose to Win, and it has been such a wonderful time that we've had to learn about how we can serve in the kingdom of God. I just want to open with a scripture which is found in Matthew 3, verse 1 to 6, and it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who has spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and the region around the Jordan went out to him, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." The beginning of Jesus' ministry was heralded in by his baptism at the Jordan River by John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus and a prominent preacher. He had created quite a stir with his public message. John called the people of Israel to repentance, and he preached the need for baptism as the means of entering into a new covenant with God. Now, as readers, we can probably anticipate that there would be a conflict between Jesus and John. John was just a man, and Jesus was both God and man. Both Jesus and John were interested in doing the will of God. Jesus was only beginning his ministry while John was nearing the end of his. John was Jesus' forerunner, the one whose purpose was to promote Jesus, setting the stage for his arrival. John said, "He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." That's found in Matthew 3, verse 11. John was the picture of a servant. In John 3, verse 30, he mentioned that his calling was to decrease for the purpose of promoting Jesus. Before Jesus ever preached it, John was about losing if it meant winning for the kingdom. Because of John's ministry, Jesus had an audience before he even began his season of preaching. Now, I just want to stop and allow us to think about that for a minute. John was obviously Jesus' cousin, as I said. He was used to being around people somewhat of prominence because the message that he preached, the message that was spoken to so many people, was contrary to what those of the time were used to hearing. It required him to be bold. It required him to stand firm on what God had spoken to him. And it required him to go with a passion and an urgency to what God had called him to. And truly, his motto of, "I must decrease so that he might increase," is something that all of us can learn from today. Now in Matthew 3, verse 13 and 17, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" The collision of characters that occurred in Matthew 3 could have been awkward. You have the larger-than-life prophet, John, who was viewed by a multitude of people. And then you have Jesus, who at this stage was not as well known. Until that point, John had been leading the movement of renewed interest and passion for God's covenant with Israel. It was, however, only a matter of time before Jesus would assume leadership of this movement. When Jesus met John at the Jordan River, he made a curious request. Jesus asked John to baptize him. This might seem like a pretty backwards idea to us, you know, God asking a man to baptize him. And John found it difficult to understand as well. In fact, he suggested it would make more sense for Jesus to be baptizing him. Jesus had a specific purpose in asking this. He said, "For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Basically, in King James English, "For allow it just this once, because this is what the will of God requires of us." I just want to go back a second and go off what it said, that Jesus had a specific purpose in asking this. Sometimes Jesus asks us to do things that make zero sense. But I want to remind you that in those moments, he has a perfect will, and that in the end, it will make sense for us. So John, he ended up submitting to Jesus, and then Jesus submitted to John to be baptized. How did this fulfill all righteousness? Jesus showed that baptism is necessary, even for him. If you think about the world that we live in today, most new things, new ideas, none of us will really participate or agree to get involved with them unless someone has gone before us. Maybe a few daredevils around us will do it, but for the majority of the time, we want to see that someone else has done it before we willingly do it as well. And I think that just shows how perfectly God understands us as people, that he created salvation in such a way that he's like, "You know what? I'm going to come down and I'm going to be baptized, so that you can see that this is what is required and what is needed." Baptism is the means of announcing the start of participation in God's covenant, for Jesus' baptism represented the beginning of his ministry. I remember when I got baptized, it wasn't long after I had been filled with the Spirit. I'll come back to that story in a minute, because it's obviously, like every person who's been filled with God's Spirit, it's unique. But I remember coming home and my mom had been away, and I told her, "Mom, you know, shyly, I got filled with the Spirit," and she was so excited. And then she said, "Bethany, you need to be baptized." So of course I'm like, "Well, I've heard about baptism my whole life. What's this? What are you talking about?" And my mom sat me down and we did a Bible study, and she basically laid out what baptism was and why I needed to participate, or why I needed to give my life to God. And I was incredibly nervous. I don't know if you can tell by me just standing here, I'm incredibly nervous, but especially as a child, I was nervous to be seen by anyone, and the fact that baptisms happened so publicly was nerve-wracking for me. But I remember as I was led down the stairs into the baptism right at the back there, that God stilled me and he took away my nerves, and it was just me and him. And I think that's so perfect. And from that moment, I truly did give my life to God. I did truly say, "Lord, take everything that I have." I was around 10 years old at the time, but I knew that this was an important decision for my life, and that it would impact everything that I did and the person who I would become. While I'm here, I will quickly tell the story of when I was filled with the Spirit. It, like I said, wasn't long before I had been baptized, and I think we had an evangelist visiting at the time, and I remember I was sitting over on the side near the door, and everyone was down at the altar, and it was so noisy and everything was happening, but God just really began to speak into my life, and I knew that I wanted to be filled, but I was so scared. I didn't know what to do, I didn't know what to say, and I couldn't make my feet walk down to the front. And then the beautiful and wonderful Kylie Bryant, she came up to me and she said, "Bethany, when are you going to be filled with the Spirit?" And I just began to cry because God sent her specifically to me, and she walked me down to the front. And then I remember just being crowded by people. And again, going back to the fact that I don't like being in front of people or being touched by a lot of people, God in that instant made all of the noise go away from me. And he began to show me a picture. And as a child in my school, we had this very specific playground that I loved playing on. And it had a very large, in my childlike way, had a very large slide. And God took me to the top and he said, "When you slide down, if you decide to, as you get to the bottom, I will fill you with my Spirit. If you decide to go down this slide, I will forgive you of all of your sins and I will fill you." I said, "Okay, Jesus." And so I imagined it in my head. And quite honestly, as I went down the slide and I got to the bottom, God filled me with his Spirit. The reason why I wanted to share that with you is because God speaks to us in the most unique way to us. And so if you are questioning God's voice, let me tell you that it will be unique to you, that you can seek him in his word and he will speak perfectly for you. We'll get back onto the lesson. So lastly, as we're talking about the question, how does this fulfill all righteousness? The last part, it says, Jesus showed that baptism is about more than just the forgiveness of our sins. Baptism is also an act of submission, that it is an important step towards habitual service to the Lord. When we are baptized, we are coming into Christ. And we're saying, "Lord, I move away from all of this and I'm walking with you." The events of John 3 were pleasing to God. As Jesus emerged from the water, the clouds parted and a visual display of the Spirit in the form of the likeness of a dove descended upon him. A voice from heaven announced, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This announcement certainly was not for Jesus' sake, but rather it was for his audience, for John, for the people that were around him, the Jordan River, and for us. For Jesus, the baptism represented a first step in a life that would be devoted to the service of God and to the people around him. Jesus' path to the cross and his resurrection 3 days later began with this first step. This series has largely focused on the motivation for Christian service and how we can find ways to serve and to submit in our homes, community, and church. Learning to succeed at losing for the purpose of the kingdom of God takes practice. Just like anything else in life, finding the correct motivation and attitude for service takes a lot of time and effort in prayer. And Jesus spent, 30 years basically at step zero. He was praying, cultivating his Spirit, submitting in his home, and loving everyone around him. I just want to read in Luke 2, verse 41 to 52. It says, "His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and he was 12 years old. They went up to Jerusalem according to the customs of the feast. When they had finished the day, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph, his mother, did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought among their relatives and acquaintances. So they did not find him. They returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look at your father, and I have sought you anxiously.' And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?' But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all those things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. I just want to go back to the part where it talks about how Jesus was sitting and listening and asking questions. For us to cultivate our relationship with God, we need to be in prayer and we need to be asking questions. In prayer, we can come and we can receive from the Lord. And in reading the Word of God, we can ask our questions and know that they can be answered. And that can be the same for when we come to church. Come with questions so that God might be able to answer them. Because when we are constantly seeking after God, we will find Him. And if we truly want to be in service to His kingdom, we must be constantly finding where His presence is. So when the time came, Jesus took the first step into His ministry. That step began with the action of baptism, like we've spoken about this evening. In Acts 2:28, it tells us that baptism offers us remission of our sins. Baptism is also the biblical model for declaring Jesus as the Lord and authority of our lives. Romans 6:3-4 tells us that when we are baptized into Jesus, we die to our past selves and walk in the newness of life. Quite literally, baptism is a first step into acknowledging God's will for our lives. And isn't that so wonderful? And for those of us that have been baptized, maybe for many years ago that it happened, like myself, we can reflect on what motivated us. Where did that desire and that urgency to seek out God go if it has dried up? Let us come to God and be renewed in His presence so that we can be on fire for Him again and so that we can have His passion and His purpose in us. When we look at the story of Jesus' life in the gospel, it is evident Jesus existed to serve everyone around Him. When Jesus submitted to be baptized by John, He noted it was necessary to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, all the righteousness He did began with that single act. Service and submission are also important elements of fulfilling our obligation to the Lord. Now I want to read Romans 12:3-8. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each other a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have all the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us then, if prophesy, let us prophesy in proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." In this passage, John addressed the church about their obligation to use their gifts properly by serving one another. Paul's approach to service suggests many things to us. Number one, we are called to serve and to minister. That kind of goes hand in hand. Pastor often says that ministry is service. That's what we're here to do. We're here to serve. The second thing is we are all unique in our calling to serve. And using our gifts the right way requires real effort. Jesus called all of us to truly seek what God has for us, to truly allow God to reveal what it is that He has for us. We should be convinced that God has given us gifts to use in the service of God. We can come better to understand these gifts through prayer and introspection. Some questions for you to think about. Have you ever felt specifically called to something? What ministries do you most feel burdened to participate in? And how have you positively impacted in people in the past? These are some three quite big questions, but I just want to repeat them again so that you can properly think on them. Have you ever felt specifically called to something? What ministries do you feel a burden to participate in? And how have you positively impacted people in the past? I think that last one for me is quite, I don't know, it just kind of strikes a chord, because it's not just about, you know, people on the platform or people behind the scenes, but it's how can I serve? How can I love people? How can I give of myself so that the kingdom of heaven can be bigger? By this point in the series, we know that what service looks like. We also know why we ought to serve. However, there is one more unexplored reason we are called to serve. By serving others and by serving the kingdom, we are actually serving ourselves. A paradox is something that seems like it contradicts itself, but it proves to be true anyway. Serving others also blesses the server. That's a paradox. During one of Paul's ministry journeys, he called for the elders of Ephesus to come out and to visit him. In Acts 20, verse 35, he concluded his directions to them with this: "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord himself, who said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" It is curious that in all the stories of Jesus we have heard in the gospel, that this particular saying of Jesus was not included. Obviously, this saying was known by Paul and his audience, for the elders of Ephesus remembered it. It must have been something often said by the disciples and the people who had been with Jesus. There is a powerful message entailed in this adage. Obviously, receiving a gift is a blessing. Getting things is great. I mean, if you think about Christmas and birthdays, receiving a gift, I don't know, I love a good gift. That might seem really bad to say, but I do. I think it's mostly to do with the thought that someone puts into it and be like, "Oh, thank you so much, you thought of me, that's really lovely." But I do know for a fact that for me, if I'm giving someone a gift, I get so much more excited and I get so much joy from it, because I get to see the look on their face and the joy that it gives them. So Jesus said that giving produces even more blessing in the life of the giver than that in the life of the receiver. And for some reason, when I was reading this, it kind of reminded me of, what's his name? A preacher that came a number of years ago to a conference, and he said that God will do greater things in you than he will ever do through you. And it kind of reminds me that the greatest work that God has done for me personally will always be in my life. But that's mostly because I get to bless through that. I get to see how people are moved in the presence of God, and that blesses me. The following are some of the blessings we can find in service through obedience. So in John 15, 10 to 11, it talks about joy. It says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full." And then in 2 John 1:6, it says, "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." And it also talks about peace in Isaiah 48, verse 18. "Oh, that you have heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." And then prophecy in Joshua 1:8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to be according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." These kinds of blessings result in a happy and a complete life. a step in service to the kingdom of God naturally produces in a believer each of these things. We may lose something in the process, but in the end, we win. And I think that is such a beautiful way to end this series, that the more we give into the kingdom of God, the more we are blessed. The more that we reach out to people, the more God uses us. And I just want to, I don't know about you, but I just want to be used of God with everything that I have so that I can reach this lost and dying world. And whether that be just picking up rubbish in church, you know, outside that I see that people drop, or whether that's praying for people at the altar or praying for people alone in my bedroom, I just want to be of service to God and I want to be used of Him. So I pray that this has blessed you. I just want to conclude and with praying, and let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word that you have given to us over the past 4 weeks. And I just pray that we truly would seek you out, Lord, that we truly would strive to serve you, Lord. And for those of us that have been questioning whether we want to be baptized, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open and that you would continue to speak. And for those of us, Lord, that it's been a long time since we've been baptized, I pray that a renewed passion for your kingdom would ignite us to seek after you more than ever before. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us and that you would continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.